I invite you to open to Luke chapter 11 for our Bible reading this morning. It's the Gospel of Luke chapter 11. I'll be reading verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. For which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Praise God for this reading of his holy word today. When I began serving as a pastor, I was surprised by the lack of prayer in the churches and a scant interest in prayer as a topic or a spiritual discipline. I thought this was just something that most, if not all, Christians did and eagerly got involved in. In my early years of being a Christian, it was an important part of small groups that we would pray together and even have an extended time of, "Tell me what's going on in your life." "Okay, let's everybody pray for what's going on in your life." And that was sort of a natural part of my discipling process in those small groups when I was a newer Christian. But I'm not sure why it is that for our church, there seems to be little interest in and it's hard to get people together for things like prayer meetings and gatherings and small groups and things like that. And I don't know why it is that some denominations, it's very easy, it seems to me, to get people together to pray and whatnot. I believe strongly in prayer and the power of prayer, the blessing of prayer, the strategic importance of prayer in the life of the church and her mission. I also believe strongly that prayer, communication with God, is vital. Vital for building a strong community of believers who are able and willing to live together with differences, with disagreements, with conflicts. I believe that prayer is an essential element in fulfilling the great commission of Christ to go and to make disciples of all nations. It's essential to the fulfilling of Christ's new commandment that we love one another. For it's hard to stay too angry with someone for too long if we're praying for them. In prayer, we look beyond the present struggle or situation we're in. We look beyond to see a bigger picture, a greater power at work. And so in prayer, we often look to greater possibilities as well. And I'm a firm believer that prayer out loud, using our words, using our tongues and our vocal cords, is important too. And maybe even the way prayer was really meant to happen on a regular basis. Like spiritual disciplines of all kinds, prayer takes practice. It's a holy habit, a habit as essential as breathing. So this fall, Fellowship Church is focusing on prayer with an eye toward Project Philip and the planting of God's Word in our community. And our hope is that a renewed focus on prayer will change us as much as it changes anyone else in our community. Our hope is that God will hear our prayers and that people who have not heard or responded to the gospel would maybe start hearing and sensing the movement of the Holy Spirit of God in their lives and would respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So before we plant, though, before we send this mailing out, which is going to be in January 15th, 2015, we need to do some work first, the work of prayer. This is the preparing the spiritual soil of our community, irrigating the soil with our prayers. We pray for very real people to hear a very real gospel, for people who desperately need a real Savior. Well, Luke chapter 11 introduces us to the Lord's Prayer along with a parable. It's really a simple message that pastors love to complicate. But its message is about simply about the fatherhood of God and the awesome accessibility we have to the throne room of God. And the words of Jesus come to us today to encourage us to not be shy about approaching God in prayer. Jesus tells us that God, our Father, readily hears our prayers and responds to them. At first, the Bible begins in verses 1 through 4. Teach us how to pray. The gospel begins by noting that Jesus was praying. The disciples are watching and they're listening. And then he finishes praying. And then one of them asks, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Jesus responds by giving them the Lord's Prayer as a model prayer. Good place for us to begin as a church too, I think. When you pray, he says, begin by addressing God as Father. And pray for the respect and the honor of God's name. Then pray for his kingdom to come, for kingdom advancement. Pray for your daily needs, your daily bread. Leave the future to God. And humbly pray for forgiveness of your sins, keeping in mind that you too should be practicing the forgiveness of sins of others. And always be humble enough to admit your weaknesses and pray to be spared from the trials and the temptations that could just crush you. In other words, acknowledge your need for help. Acknowledge that you need God in this life. Go to God, Jesus tells them. Go to God directly and simply. He is your heavenly Father. Why pray? Our catechism asks, why do Christians need to pray? And then you see the catechism had just left the Ten Commandments, and they told us that while praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, we may never stop striving to be renewed more and more after God's own image until after this life we reach our goal, perfection. Well, today's question follows up on that. Why do Christians need to pray? And it gives us two reasons why to pray. And the first is because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness or the gratitude that God requires of us. So living rightly and following the Ten Commandments is an important part of the thankfulness, the gratitude, living a life of thankfulness that God requires of us. Not a way to earn salvation, but as a way to live as God's redeemed people by following the commandments. But it says prayer is the most important part of living a life of gratitude. The catechism is reaching its climax here as it's leaving us with prayer, with the subject of prayer. And the second reason Christians should pray, it says, because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually on an ongoing basis and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. Ongoing prayer brings the blessings of God's grace, the blessings of his Holy Spirit. So we speak to God in prayer, but God's also communicating to us. Prayer is something that we do, but it's also a gift from God. One of those paradoxes of the Christian life. So why pray? And Jesus prayed. He taught his disciples to pray. The Bible commands it. And somehow, even the very act of prayer, according to the Catechism, is this extended thank you to God. Think about it. By taking everything to God in prayer, aren't we saying to God that we trust him, that he's big enough, strong enough, powerful enough to handle any of our needs and all of our requests? Aren't we saying when we pray that only God is so loving and powerful? In a way, when we pray, we're giving God a supreme compliment. Well, when someone comes to you and asks you for advice, you might say, wow, thank you for asking. I'm honored that you even came to me, that you asked me. Or your child comes to you and asks for dating advice for the first time. And maybe inside you're thinking, wow, what an honor that she would actually talk to me, of all people, about such things. So I think God is honored and blessed by our very act of seeking his advice, his mercy, and his help when we pray. That's why Jesus says, begin your prayer by saying, Our Father. God is your Father who is honored by your requests. Prayer itself is demonstrating an act of faith, that you believe God is there, that you believe he's powerful enough to handle your problems, that he's going to be there for you. Well, next, the Catechism asks, well, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? Or in what spirit does God want us to pray? And there are three things we should know when we pray, it says. First, know God. Pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself in his word. Know who God is. Know to whom you're addressing your prayers. Two, know yourself. Acknowledge, it says. Acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in his majestic presence. Know yourself. Know your need. Know that you need God. And three, know your Savior or mediator. We must rest on this unshakable foundation, it says. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of what wonderful people we are. No. Because of Christ our Lord and what he did on the cross for us, right? That is what he promised us in his word. Know God, know yourself and your needs, right? Know your Savior. In other words, pray with a spirit of confidence and humility, resting on that sure foundation of Christ's work on the cross, and that work on the cross has made you a child of God Most High, a child of the Heavenly Father, a child with amazing access to the throne of God. Simply talking to our adopting Heavenly Father on a continual basis is a supreme act of gratitude. Because of all you, God, have done for me and for the world in Christ, I'm going to seek you, I'm going to trust in you, I'm going to depend upon you for everything, all my needs in life. I know you're there for me. Well, next, how much can we trust God? Jesus expands his teaching on the Lord's Prayer in verses 5 through 8. After Jesus teaches his disciples what to pray for and how to pray, he tells them this parable or this story to help illustrate what he's talking about. I'm calling it a little help from a friend. And this parable and the rest of our passage is all tied into what we just read about the Lord's Prayer. Maybe you didn't know that, or maybe you've only read certain verses out of this chapter. But it's really neat when you put it all together here. Jesus begins this story that helps us illustrate the Lord's Prayer. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight, he says. Hypothetically speaking, you have this friend. And suppose you go to this friend's house at midnight because you've had some out-of-town guests that have just shown up on your doorstep and you have nothing to feed them. And the cultural expectation is that you ought to help visitors and friends who would come to your doorstep in the middle of the night. That's the cultural expectation of hospitality there. Now imagine that friend of yours saying this to you, Jesus says, "Don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are in bed. I'm in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." He's tucked in, safe and sound and cozy, to get up and raid the refrigerator in the middle of the night. it'd be such a hassle. I'd wake up the children. And you know how long it took to get those kids to bed in the first place. I tell you, Jesus says in verse 8, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, our translation has it, or boldness, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. There's boldness in asking at inopportune times. Now, what does this mean? Even though your friend may not step up for you just because he's your friend, he will at least step up for you because of your boldness. Shamelessness is the word used here in the original. Even though your friend will not get up for you because he's your friend, he will at least get up because, one, he'll be impressed with your boldness, your shameless audacity, and he would be shamed if he didn't get up to help you. He'll get up at least to protect his good name, especially in that ancient culture, right? His name would be mud in the community if he didn't get up and help a friend in need in the middle of the night. His excuse of having to unlock the door and not wanting to wake the kids is pretty lame when it comes to helping a friend in need in the night. But imagine, suppose Jesus is teaching his disciples here that you had a friend like this who would not get up to help you when you're in a jam in the middle of night. Well, the disciples couldn't imagine a friend like that, especially in their culture where it was expected that you help. You're hospitable. That's no friend at all. And that's Jesus' point here. If you have human friends who would get up and respond to your needs and requests in the middle of the night, even if their motives are mixed, how much more your Heavenly Father will He respond to your requests in prayer? How much more? If you're almost guaranteed a little help from your friends, how much more from Father God? Therefore, the point of Jesus' story is to encourage his followers to pray the Lord's Prayer with confidence that the Father readily hears and willingly responds to your requests and petitions. And finally, Jesus highlights a childlike faith and trust in verses 9 through 13. Asking as a child of the Father. Many people like to point out persistence in prayer when it comes to this passage. You know, as long as I keep praying the same thing over and over again, eventually I'm going to wear God down and he's going to give in and give me my request. That's not the point here. That's not really what's going on. The point is rather simply just coming to God boldly and confidently with our needs in prayer. Your Heavenly Father isn't an old stooge waiting to stomp you if you get it wrong or if you say the wrong words. And he's not somebody who's going to be sleeping that you're going to wake up and he's going to be angry that you woke him up or anything like that. So Jesus says in verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So ask, he says. Now maybe some of the disciples were like some of us today, a little timid when it comes to prayer or praying out loud or in groups or things like that. Maybe they thought you shouldn't pray about mundane things or everyday needs like daily bread. I have to tell you, as a pastor, I hear that a lot, especially from older folks. They say, well, I don't pray about myself. I don't pray for anything for me. I always pray for someone else. Maybe it just seems too unspiritual to do it or something like that. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe it seems too unspiritual to pray about the sales meeting or the algebra test or that your car would start in the morning. Why would God be interested in such things? Because he's your Heavenly Father. He cares about those things that matter to you. Ask, seek, and knock. If your friend would begrudgingly step up to help you, how much more your Heavenly Father? For Jesus gives us permission to pray for our needs. Give us today our daily bread. Pretty mundane, pretty average, and an ordinary thing. Maybe even selfish. Our catechism asks in question and answer 118, what did God command us to pray for? Answer, everything. Everything we need spiritually and physically as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord has taught us. Pray for everything. Jesus had just told a story about how you wouldn't hesitate to go to a friend in the middle of the night, maybe, and this human friend would come through for you, even if their motives are mixed. Heavenly Father is more faithful and responsive than any human friend. So Jesus moves us from a friend now in our passage. He moves us from telling us about this friend to good yet imperfect human fathers, and he's making the point, he's leading us to the perfect Heavenly Father, too. And he says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Snakes and fish are smooth and slithery. I had to practice that one. Smooth and slithery, but you're not going to confuse the two when you're packing your child's lunch, right? Now, a scorpion can roll up into a ball, but you're not going to reach for one of those when your child asks you for an egg for breakfast, right? So even you, human fathers, even you know how to give a good thing, a good gift to your children, even though you're so imperfect and you do silly stuff all the time. How much more will your Father give you good gifts if you ask? He'll even give you his own Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, usually a child of the Father has an inheritance. A child of the Father has certain privileges and rights. A child of the Father has pretty intimate access to the Father's ear, wallet, protection. A child of the Father can ask for anything and everything. But as children mature, the children of God often discover that what they were really asking for, what they were really seeking, the door they really wanted open, was the door to God. And maybe what the disciples in the end were really looking for when they asked Jesus how to pray, was, Jesus, how do we get close to God? How can we get close to God? They're asking for the deep, living, walking intimacy with God, their Creator. They want to be closer to Daddy, Abba, Father. That relationship. Teach us to pray like that. Teach us to pray with such intimacy. It's that intimacy that every human heart longs for, to be reconnected with God, their Creator. Jesus teaches us today that God, our Heavenly Father, readily hears and willingly responds to our prayers. For he's closer than a brother, more faithful than any friend, greater than any and more loving than any human father that we've ever known here on earth. And I know some of us will have to replace that image of father with a biblical understanding of what a good father is or ought to be. We can approach the Father in prayer because of the blood of the Son. You see, praying is not about how we look in the eyes of others or how smart we think we appear or don't appear or how eloquent our words are, or not about the volume of our words or the cadence or the rhythm of our words. But as the Catechism says, pray from the heart for everything. Pray from the heart for everything. In so doing, we will be living the most important part of a life of thankfulness. And maybe in our praying, we too will discover that what we've been asking for all along is to be closer to God. So may God grant his grace and his Holy Spirit to us as we seek his face in prayer this week for Project Philip, beyond as we continue to pray for everything. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for teaching us how to pray through your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the intimacy, the closeness, and the boldness with which we may come to your throne of grace in prayer. Draw us ever closer to yourself, and may we discern your will for our lives and for our community. Help us to care enough to know the needs and give us wisdom in knowing how to help, how to pray, how to share the gospel and when, with words and without. And may you, Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, be forever praised, adored, and worshiped. Amen.